This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. To the north of St Paul's Cathedral is all that's left of Christchurch Greyfriars. And it was here that I met with Tony Tucker from Friends of City Churches and Marion Blair from the Friends of the City Gardens, who talked to me about the blossoming since 1989 of a garden within its walls.
What we're actually looking at here is a garden created within a blitz-bombed church that still has got elements of the Christopher Wren building. This entire church was very significantly bombed during the Blitz, and it's been partially rebuilt on one side and then changed slightly when the road was widened by the corporation. So it's been altered fairly significantly. But what's interesting about this garden is it's created to echo the idea of being a church. The structure of the garden was designed exactly to reflect the church itself. So what you've got are these verticals, which are these pillars, which, you know, create the impression of there being the pillars within a church. Then all of the box hedging that goes around it. This is to create the illusion of the pews. And then the planting itself originally was roses, but they didn't fare so well. So what we're looking at now is a really spectacular herbaceous planting.
We're here in a church which isn't a church. Can you describe it and let me know what's different about this?
I know where we are. This is Christchurch Newgate Street. It's also called Christchurch Greyfriars because it's on the site of the old Greyfriars Monastery, the followers of St Francis of Assisi, the Franciscans, who occupied this site from way back in medieval times, until they were obviously dissolved by Henry VIII. And chancel of their big church was given over to local parishioners and became the Christchurch church that's been here ever since, rebuilt by Wren after the Great Fire, bombed in the Second World War, and all that remains is a couple of walls and Wren's stunning steeple. The rest of the site was given over partly to St Bartholomew's Hospital and partly to Christ Hospital School, and that was on the site until 1902 when that moved to Horsham in Surrey. But the church here they've kept, turned into a lovely, lovely garden after the bombing.
A school, Christ Hospital, came and took part of the buildings. And there's a new plaque which is really sort of marking the fact that this was a site where the school of Christ Hospital was also established in the 16th century. And they used the church as their chapel. What I thought was interesting about the school is that both boys and girls were admitted into the school, were taken in, when it first opened in, as you see here, so 1552, which is why there's got sort of images of boys and girls.
Yes.
Yeah, so
it was a mix.
Yeah, it was a mixed school.
So the sculpture was erected very recently.
But what's always interesting, I always find with the Christ Hospital, is that they still wear this uniform, these great long robes. They wear yellow stockings. Yeah.
Poor them.
Yeah, it's not something you want to be in.
You don't want to be walking down the high street in that outfit, you get bullied. But on the other hand, keeping up the traditional is always pleasant, isn't it?
We have a lot of famous burials here. We've got the heart of Queen Eleanor, Henry III's wife. We have Isabella of France, known as the She-Wolf of France, the wife of Edward II, who allegedly conspired in his murder by her lover, the Duke of Mortimer. She's buried here. The Holy Maid of Kent, Elizabeth Barton, famous through Hilary Mantel's book on Wolf Hall, etc. She's buried here. She was hanged for going around criticising Henry VIII's marriage to Anne Boleyn, which was not a wise thing to do, and she carried on rather a long time and ended up on the gallows for her troubles. She's buried here.
Who decides what goes in here and how it's going to be planted?
Yeah, the actual designs of all of the corporation gardens is done by their in-house designer, His name's Bradley Viljan, who's got a really strong eye for design, texture, foliages, and he predominantly is the person who's responsible for all of that. And then the gardeners themselves come. They've got 35 gardeners. And the gardener who does this one, he has a very good understanding of working with perennials and herbaceous plants.
Can you tell me about some of the plants?
Okay, let's go down this sort of central part here. So the climbers are a mixture of roses, which have all been very beautifully pruned. This is then a type, it's called a Trachylosporum jasminoides, so it's a really beautiful evergreen plant that really holds its own throughout all different seasons. It has wonderful white, very sweet smelling flowers, and it's a good plant in full sun, but it will also do well in shade. It's a great climber, and so they've got this combination with having these roses punctuated with evergreens. So traditional herbaceous planting is completely throughout the winter time. It's all cut back. In the summer, it's absolutely full. It's really beautiful. It's all purples and blues and pinks, and it's stunning.
Do you know if there's any thought behind the kinds of plants that are put here, symbolism or meaning or anything?
Not particularly in terms of the history of the site, no. Whilst it's planted for biodiversity, this one I would say is a garden that's planted essentially really much more for sort of the look of it. Because it's in such a prominent position in the city, it's quite spectacular for the period of time throughout the summer.
Is it important to have these gardens for ecological reasons? And
absolutely, absolutely. And the city now is really committed to trying to introduce more birds, more insects. You know, it's part of its biodiversity plan. At the same time, what always has to be taken into account is that, you know, it's a major capital city, the square mile is very important for visitors, so it has to look good as well. So it's the kind of balance between the two.
I suppose the people who have the best view of it must be the people who live in the tower.
Yeah, so the tower is an interesting one. On one side is a medical centre, but the actual tower itself, the bit we're looking at now, is a private residence.
They've got the spectacular view looking down on this.
Well, this is their garden. This is their private garden. I mean, you couldn't really want better, could you?
A little sad that they did knock down some of the surviving walls, but it's a lovely, lovely garden. On a busy, busy crossroads, so it's not the quietest spot, but it is still a very nice little haven for people to sit and have their lunch, as some are already doing here today. And you're sitting beneath one of Wren's greatest steeples. It's same sort of style as it's Portland stone, like St Mary Le Bow down the road, with three stages to it, a belfry stage, a little temple of 12 classical columns, with vases on top and a little top-knot spire at the top. It's a beautiful creation. Again, it's right off the top of Wren's head. He'd never really seen anything like this other than perhaps some... he had a book on Rome. He'd have seen Francesco Borromini's little Baroque churches in Rome, some of which have some similarities, but it's very original.
If you could sum up the garden, what would you say?
I think I'd describe this as... it's a sort of celebration of English tradition of herbaceous plants, you know, in the sort of Gertrude Jekyll style, but then with this very interesting plan and structure to it, which really echoes its history. So I find it one of the more beautiful of the city gardens, because you've got this really good match, a mixture of something historically significant and of value with something of really good horticultural value as well.
Yeah,
it's a real signature garden for the city.
It's almost a shame that it's on
where it is.
Yeah, it is where it is, isn't it?
Well, that's part of its joy, isn't it? That it is, you stumble across it in the middle of a sort of roundabout. I mean, that's so many of the city gardens are like this one, but this one is really quite a jewel.
I mean, it's odd because it's open on the two sides where you can easily access it, and yet somehow you often don't notice it's even there. When you step inside, you kind of feel like you're stepping inside a church.
You get, well, that's
it
right.
It does, as you said, incorporates that history
really
well in the design of it.